Okay. Revelation chapter 2, where I told you we're going to spend time in the churches because of them representing a specific time in history. Remember that? And you can use it devotional or spiritually, but also prophetically. It's amazing how these churches represent certain ages that the churches went through since Pentecost. And it's just too much to be coincidental. So that's why we as Bible-believing Baptists, we just believe there's also prophetical. And so as we're in chapter 2 of the book of Revelation, and once again, I told you we're going to take time because this specific church that we have in verse 18 is the church of Thyatira. Remember that? And we need to take some time there. You say, why? Well, there's some names that were mentioned, and those names are important, like Baal, Jezebel, and you need to understand where they come from. And the reason for that is Bible-believing Christians cannot be, well, let me say this. Bible-believing Christians are about 90% gullible proof. What do you mean by that? They won't succumb to superstitious things that come on the news or in other religious organizations. They won't come under any television evangelists trying to preach some kind of junk because they'll have the scripture on it. When you have the scripture and the history, when you go through the book of Revelation, like most of them do, they're going to give you main things. They're going to say this is a type of Rome possibly, and this is, but they don't go into all the different things that we have been going into now. I'm telling you, because it would take too long. These series would go, it would go on and on and on. So you would need to know where in the world did the Catholic Church get the priesthood from, right? I mean, where did they get the makeup, the guys in dresses? I mean, what's the deal with that? Collars turned backwards. And what's with this Mother of Heaven that the Bible says Queen of Heaven, that the Catholic Church says Queen of Heaven? You see little stuff like that, so that they, when they understand that we got the goods on them in the Bible. Really, come here. Get us to Brother Suter. I read the thing on bronchitis. That's normal what you have. Are you coughing? I got a whole. I should bring it in and pass it out. There's normal symptoms, and I fit the T like perfect. So is everybody else in here. But when you understand where these folks get this stuff from, and before we close this out, I got a feeling this church, and I'm taking a little time now, but Thyatira is going to take at least 3 Wednesdays. We already started last Wednesday, or the week before. We're going to have this one and possibly another one, because I want you to show where purgatory and everything comes from, you know, or at least show you the scriptures that go against it. So if you know all this, it ain't about us picking on a church that claims to be Christian but not like us, because we claim to have all the answers. We have a book that has all the answers in it that we can check. That's the difference. Our authorities are different. They believe in church dogma, tradition, and scriptures. We believe in scriptures, period. When Luther said sola scriptura, when he said scripture and only scripture you condemn me on, and he made this great statement and hung them thesis on Wittenberg, Baptist, before the Lutherans, Anabaptists have already believed that and was put to death. God used that because the religious pole that they had at that time, the printing press was coming on the scene. God knows all that historically. But Luther did not start this thing, nor the Protestants. This has been going on ever since Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. He empowered the church at Pentecost. And ever since then, we had people that had parchments in different parts that they believed and been serving the Lord just fine under persecution. So I said all that to get us going here with this Jezebel here. So we left off with women preachers, I believe, and prophecies. It says, let's see, female preachers and prophetess claim I'm using the gift of God and that he gave me, or the Spirit led me, etc. And if this was who they claim to be, then they can control their spirit according to 1 Corinthians 14. We did all this. And according to the scripture, 1 Peter 3, 4, they can keep quiet. And when they do their gifts, it's got to be in the church, according to 1 Corinthians 14, 34, 35, which they forbid them to do. So anyway, we're down to the Old Testament now, and we're going to show the connection of Jezebel and Zidon, Z-I-D-O-N, where the tribe of Dan were mixing with the Phoenicians, which had priests called fathers. All right, you understand? When you read that Old Testament, you're going to find out that the Jews' problem was when they mixed. When they mixed, they took on whatever they mixed with and got God very angry. And so the tribe of Dan, just so you know, the tribe of Dan is called a serpent and a lion's whelp. That means a young lion. When you connect the dots here, it defines Israel's worship, and this coincides with the prophetic interpretation of the book, which is the Dark Ages. You understand? The prophetic interpretation of the book of Revelation in this point represents the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages. But we're going to go here to Genesis 49:17. You know what? I got a good lozenger, different kind. You sure? Okay. You're going to make me cough. I know. Listen to me. So Daniel 49:17. You teenagers know where that's at, right? Didn't I say Daniel? Did I say Genesis? I did say Genesis. I was just checking. 49:17, Genesis. I guess you were paying attention. It would have been bad if I'd have found that somehow in Daniel. I wouldn't have a King James, that's for sure. Yeah. Okay, enough. Embarrassed enough. Okay, Genesis 49. Look at verse 17. It says, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. That's like a prophecy included with the serpent. But I wanted you to see a serpent, right? Now go to Deuteronomy 33. That's the tribe of Dan. That's what we just saw there. In Deuteronomy 33, Lily, you got a Bible? Don't look like you're doing anything with it. Deuteronomy 33. And look at verse 22. 33:22 says, and of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from where? Bashan. Bashan's a good word too, but we're not going to do a study on that because there was something that was going on with Bashan and the crucifixion. But we won't go there right now, but just to throw that out to you. So the tribe, once again, of Dan is like unto a lion and a serpent. If you know your Bible, you know who this typifies. Satan is called a serpent in Genesis 3 and a lion in 1 Peter 5. Remember, he goes around seeking whom he can devour. Now in Judges 18, we have the priest. This priest is called a father. Well, go to Judges. Remember, you had to have judges before you had kings, right? Everybody understand that? Okay. There were judges before there were kings. And then when they wanted to be like the world, remember, they wanted a king. Remember, God warned them about a king? Told them exactly what the king was going to do? They got Saul, didn't they? Anyway, Judges 18, we see in verse 1. In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites sought them inheritance to dwell in, for unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. So Dan, we're seeing, wants to have an inheritance and wants to start their own ball game, basically. Look at verse 2. And the children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from their coast, men of valor, from Zorah and from Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, go search the land, who when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. When they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite. And they turned in thither and said unto him, who brought thee hither? And what makest thou in this place? And what hast thou here? And he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me, and I am his, what? Priest. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, go in peace. Before the Lord is your way, therein ye go. Then the 5 men departed and came to Laish and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt, how? Careless. After the manner of the what? Zidonians. Remember Zidon? I showed you in Revelations there in chapter 2. Zidon was a name? Okay. These are like Detroiters, live in Detroit? Okay, anyway. The Zidonians, quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything, and they were far from Zidonians and had no business with any man. And they came unto their brethren, to Zorah and Eshtaol, and their brethren, and unto them. What say thee? So in the first verse, we're seeing that the tribe of Dan gets a young man to be a priest for its tribe. Did you see the young man? They got a priest in the context. Okay. Now, look, if you will, at verse 19. And they said unto him, hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a what? And a what? So, do you see that in your own Bible? Now, I'm sure other versions will try to get rid of this, but we're not. So you have a connection with a father and what? A priest. Just so you got that, you need to understand that. Look at verse 20. And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went into the midst of the people. This father takes care of idols and uses them as an aid to what? Worship. Worship. This father and priest has articles that are aids to his worship. Just so you see that, look at verse 28. And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man. And it was in the valley that lieth by Beth-Rahab, and they built a city and dwelt therein. The tribe of Dan settles up near Zidon and Tyre on the Phoenician coast. Why is that wrong? They weren't told to do that. They wanted to do their own thing. Now, since they're on the Phoenician coast, guess who they're going to be rubbing shoulders with, right? Look at verse 30 and 31. And the children of Dan set up the graven image. You see that? Did God ever tell them to do that? No, he's against it, correct? And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were what? Priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in where? Shiloh. So we got here, we got Dan. They're in total apostasy. You know how long this lasts? For nearly 1,000 years. Up by Zidon, where the Phoenicians live, we find a tribe of Dan mixing with the heathen and with the priest called Father, who use idols as an aid to worship. Nobody has any doubt about Zidon. Nobody. Now go to Genesis 10:19. There's a reason I'm doing this. I'm showing you a geographical location. I'm showing you things that were associated with Dan. The geographical location was Zidon. We want to find out about this this Jezebel. So we're going to have to find out where she comes from, right? And that's why we do what we do here. See, and you don't have to learn it, but know this, that there's Bible, there's reasons that we don't cater to Rome. Okay? Just so you understand that. In Genesis 10 and verse 19. Now look what it says. And the border of the Canaanites was from where? Zidon. That's the same as when it's using the Z. Zidon. It's the same location. So the border of the who? Canaanites. Remember that name. Canaanites. Was from Zidon. As thou camest to Gerar, unto Gaza, as thou goest unto where? Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zebion unto Lasha. So, you are told that Hamites, which are Canaanites, settled in this part of the country and set up Baal worship. Really? Yes. Why do we go to Genesis? Well, because it's way before Judges. We want you to see the Phoenicians. We want you to see where they come from. Okay? And that area where they live. And why Dan crossed over and mixed with them. Set up a priesthood. Their priest was called not only a priest, but a father. They used aids to worship. That's why I took you to Genesis. Okay, go to 1 Kings chapter 16. You can believe this or not, but back in the 70s and that, you know, teenagers and everybody went crazy over their Bible and Bible studied like this. They found that exciting. In other words, when they left church, they still studied. Isn't that amazing? It doesn't have to be just preachers. It's somebody that just, wow, this is sort of cool, you know, because we've got so many different things going on today that it's difficult to keep our mind on certain things, isn't it? And I understand that because it's part of that devil moving everything so fast on us. He tricks us all the time. So we're in chapter 16 of 1 Kings. And we'll read verse 29 to 33. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. What does that mean? He's worse than the ones before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to what? Walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took, now look what it says, that he took wife Jezebel, the daughter of Baal, king of the what? Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. So you got Jezebel's name associated with the Zidonians, which is a Canaanite race, according to Genesis, right? And they worship Baal. Now, this is who he married, who? Ahab. So, if that weren't enough, and this Baal worship carried on in the Phoenicia, connected with the tribe of Dan, we find that these people worshiped from 10 or 11 in the morning to noon. No. Yeah, that's what they do. They worship from 10 or 11 in the morning till noon. Does your preacher like to go past noon? Why does he like to go past noon? Even if it's a minute. I know I violated it a couple times. Because of the high mass of the Catholic Church, because I come out of the Catholic Church. So I like going past noon no matter whether they like it or not. Even if I got to dance or say a poem, you know? I mean, it's just my connection with that. So it's amazing that when you start studying the scriptures, these things start popping out. You're saying, this can't be true. This can't be true. This can't be true. And but it is. Yep. Let's see. 1 Kings 18:26. The Bible says, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of what? Baal. Now look what it says. From morning even until what? You mean that's in the Bible? You just said that? Yes, I just said that. It's in the Bible. And where did they worship Baal? Did you see that? From morning even until noon, saying, "Oh, Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. Anyway, that's when they worship. That's why I give you that verse, 1 Kings 18:26, right? Now, in 1 Kings 18:24 and 25, they worship the fire of the sun, and they worship the sun god on his day, which is what? Sunday. 24 and 25 here, it says, "And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call the name of your gods, but put no fire under." Don't you like that? And they took the bullock and so on and so forth, and they called on their gods. They do it to go through and do an honest study of all this. We'd have to go and see how they put their kids sacrificing to the fire of Moloch, and we'd have to go through all this and see how they worship the sun god. And that's where you get Sunday from, the word Sunday. Isn't it amazing that our Lord rose again the first day of the week, which is Sunday? And I want you to take this into consideration. When God delivered Israel, he had a deliverer named Moses, right? He took them through the Red Sea, correct? And they served the Sabbath, right? Saturday. Well, the church has a deliverer, Jesus Christ. And he took us through the Red Sea. But this Red Sea is the blood of Jesus Christ. It cleanses us from all sin. Under Moses, all the things that the Egyptian worshipped, their 10 main gods, God addressed with the plagues and the different things that he brought on there. To do what? To make fun of their gods. And he succeeded. When Jesus Christ come up first day of the week, guess what he said to their Sunday god? Adios. I think it's neat that the more you read the Bible, the more you find out some neat stuff about God. God's got a sense of humor. God always likes to blacken the eye of the devil. God has no problem with the devil. He's not even, God doesn't break a sweat, doesn't lose sleep, doesn't do nothing. The devil's nothing to him. Understand that? He's all powerful. If you wanted to deal with him, put him in the deepest hell, long before the garden, he could have did that. But he didn't. He's working out his plan. And we got in on it, and I appreciate that. But here I just wanted you to see that you got priests, you got fathers, you got Baal worship, you got Jezebel, which comes from that neighborhood that Ahab marries. Okay? And it's important to know that. Because when we're done with this, you're going to say, "Well, wow." Then I'll bring you back to chapter 2, book of Revelation, show you Thyatira, show you where Jezebel's mentioned, Baal worship, you know, stuff like that. So that's where you get the connection. How about 1828, these black-robed priests called Father multiplied themselves and do penance to pay for their sins. They mutilate their bodies to try to get what they want from God. In 28, this is that deal that was going on with Elijah, but in 28 it says, "And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lance till the blood gushed out upon them." Who? These priests, these fathers. Self-infliction. What would cause a person to do that? Devils. How in the world would God tell a young teenager or even younger than that to cut themselves or do any kind of pain to themselves? He'd never do that. So something else has got to be whispering that stuff. Go to 2 Kings. Second Kings chapter 10. Are we still on the same page? You guys getting a little bit? I hope so. Second Kings, that's why I told you this one particular church, and these churches have to be gone through a little bit thorough. And then I'll just draw pictures of hail coming down and crushing people, 100-pound hail, and maybe trumpet and the vial poured out, and maybe wormwood. And I'll do a little picture or something, you know, and you'll get all that. Second Kings chapter 10, and look at verse 22. And he said unto him that was over the vestry, oh my goodness, it's even in there. Anyway, bring forth vestments for all the worshipers of Baal. And he brought them forth vestments. How about that? Now these black robed Baalite priests called fathers, who are in the tribe of Dan, who conduct the Phoenician Baal worship for Ahab and Jezebel, wear long robes called vestments. Consequently, they have vestries and vestrymen for their vestments. You ever do a Latin, you know, study and you find out that you'll be back to Rome and you'll see who takes care of all the people and dresses them with their vestments. Anyway, I'm showing you. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10. Surely you won't remember all this. I don't expect you to remember all of it, but I just want you to understand that when somebody says, oh, you Baptists think you know it all, what do you tell them? No, I've got a book that knows it all, okay? That book is what God put in there that we should know how to conduct ourselves, what to believe. It's all in the book. Jeremiah chapter 10. You may not like this, but I don't care. I mean, if I told you how I found out the interpretation of this, you'd never believe it. I'll tell you it anyway. First time I started preaching was in rescue missions. Brother Kirk was taking me downtown Michigan Avenue and about 18th Street or whatever it was. And I went in there and a bunch of drunks in there and dopies and all that stuff. And I'm preaching away and stuff and I was done. And something just got a hold of me. And I let this guy in the chair read these verses, you know. And he told me exactly what he thought it was. And I sort of agreed with him. But anyway, Jeremiah chapter 10, let's read verses 1 through 5. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of the heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people, you see that, the signs of the heaven, everybody got that, Jeremiah 10? You know, zodiacs, you know, everybody's got to get a newspaper, look at it. Even Christians, I saw Christians. I'm just checking my zodiac. Yeah, just like a heathen. Anyway. Verse 3. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree. But speak not, they must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. Why? It's just an object that they brought in their house, nailed, and, you know, and did this thing. Well, I'll just read my notes now. So, these people who worship Baal, the sun god, on December 25th as his birthday. Now, all you have to do is research this. And you'll find out exactly when the solstice, when they do this stuff. Yes. And you'll also know the tribulation period when, you know, Daniel says knowledge is going to go to and fro, you know, very quickly. The two witnesses, you know, are hurt. They're going to know worldwide when this takes place. You know why? Because it's going to be the time of the year where men give gifts to one another. Anyway. Okay. So these people who worship Baal, the sun god, on December 25th, his birthday, worship him with a tree cut of the forest by the hands of the axemen and deck the halls with boughs of holly. Tra-la-la-la-la-la. Okay, we'll skip that. Jeremiah 44. Jeremiah 44. It's just part of their customs. If you ever studied history of our country, when the Puritans and people from Rhode Island were here, there was no celebration like that. Did you know that? They called it papal. Lutherans made it real popular. Luther, you know? He attached significance with the Trinity and God and stuff like this and being natural and created. So we're people like that. I imagine we came out on the 25th, too, out of the catacombs when they were celebrating this as Rome did. And when you study history, you'll find that out, that they could mingle with their families and everything wouldn't be detected to Christians. So you can use things for benefits, apparently. We do all the time, don't we? Did I say Jeremiah 44? Sure did. Okay. We're still talking about these Baal people, okay? These priests that are called fathers and what they do. And all the way through here, all these scriptures I'm giving you is associated with Baal worship. So I'm trying to show you these things. And when you find out that the guys are wearing dresses and you find out that the priests are called fathers, okay, you'll start to put this stuff together a little bit, I think. Okay, verse 17. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the what? Huh? Burn incense unto who? The Queen of Heaven. And to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done. We and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, for then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. Wow. Look at verse 18. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. Do you see what these guys are saying? When they were in Jerusalem, they're saying they were blessed because they were doing this stuff to the Queen of Heaven. Apparently they forgot the Ten Commandments, at least, from God. I'm just showing you that they're saying they have a problem now because bad things are happening to them. So they need to go back because the Queen of Heaven had something to do with this. Okay, verse 19. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her what? Cakes. To worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Okay, look at verse 25. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows, that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings on her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah, that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. That's what he thinks about what they were doing. Did you see that they were making cakes? That's called the host. The Catholic Church has a host. They call it the body of Christ. The Holy Eucharist, they call it. They believe when they hocus pocus in Latin, Dominus Patrum Spiritus Sanctus, ding, 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 that it actually turns into the body. And the wine actually turns into the blood. And they partake of Christ by misinterpreting Scripture on purpose, making them the sole authority to salvation to these people. Dangerous. Turning people into cannibals and what? Vampires. And you can tell when the spirit of darkness starts growing, because we all get a little kick out of vampires. And you know, it's always that Catholic priest with the cross. You notice that? See the association throughout all witchcraft and everything. It's amazing. And they always try to show the guy with the Bible is the bad guy. Yeah. So we got priests with dresses called fathers, sanctifying wine and bread to the Queen of Heaven. And their services are between 10 and noon on Sunday. Wow. From your Bible. And they're called Baal worshippers. And it started long ago with the Canaanites, the Hamites. And there was a Phoenician lady, a Canaanitish lady named Jezebel, that came from that crew. Are you getting all this? So let me clarify this again. Let me see. We did. So they bake cakes to a female deity whom they call quaintly, exactly what Papa Paul calls her, the Queen of Heaven, clearly identifying the Phoenician Baal worship for what it is. Phoenician Baal worship from North Africa through the sons of Ham, with its black robe priests called fathers, connected with the tribe of Dan. How many know the tribe that the Antichrist is linked with? Dan. Dan. D-A-N. Dan. Okay. Why not, right? Serpent, lion. Okay. So, tribe of Dan worships us, Dan, worships Sunday from 10 or 11 to noon and observes Christmas. These are the original worshipers of the Antichrist. They are the devil's crowd. This is not a Dark Age superstition or Protestant bigotism. This is scripture with scripture without anybody interpreting anything at all. You have to do is read the passages. That's all you got to do. This is the woman Jezebel. Now back to Revelation chapter 2. Did you get that? Well, preacher, how did you balance this out with the tree? Listen, what I do and what you do is your conviction and whatever you do. We don't have a tree and we don't worship this Santa Claus, this fat guy. We give gifts, we get gifts. So hypocritically, I can't be dogmatic on the holiday because that's what we do. My conviction just, you know, my kids, they deck the halls, they do all that stuff, right? Why? They got liberty in the Lord. Don't you? You're not worshiping it. It's just some of us took it too, you know, and you can't get rid of it when you do it like that. So that's what we do, just so you know. Amen. Okay, where was I now? Okay, chapter 2. Look at verse 14 just to get a context from Pergamos. Chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of what? Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication." That's the association with Baal. Goes all the way back. It's infecting the churches throughout the ages. I just wanted you to see that. Now we're back to Thyatira, and notice verse 20. Look what it says. "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman who? Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." Everybody got that? That's what's going on in Thyatira, which represents A.D. 500 to A.D. 1500. It's just like the triumph of Balaamism and Nicolaitanism. A believing remnant, though, is part of that during this time. They didn't kill everybody off. Thank God for that. And because persecution, somehow, the devil found out during these dark ages, makes the church grow. So that's why I'm sort of watching this whole scenario with our country and the world. And when it talks about Laodicea, it means people's rights. He says we're rich and have need of nothing. And I know other parts of the world are probably thinking they're going through the tribulation period. They're in prison. They're being decapitated. They're not being able to buy, sell, or trade. But doctrinally, according to this Bible, in the end times before the Lord comes back, certain things have taken place. And as a whole, most of the world, believe it or not, has pretty much freedom to get what they need, somehow, some way. And I know they got third world, and there's more third world, and they're trying to get us that way right now. But what they're trying to do is, I don't think they're trying to persecute us right away. What they're trying to do is ease us into a cashless society. And that's because you have to have the mark of the beast. And you have to have a chip implanted. you know, little stuff like this that's coming about. So all these things are like working, you know. But in verse 21 of chapter 2, I want you to see God. Look what he says. And I gave her, that's Jezebel, right? Space to do what? Repent of her fornication, and she repented not. So God gave her mercy to repent, gave her time. She must have known the difference between what she observed in those not willing to go with her and what she herself was doing. She must have saw those that wouldn't go along with what she was doing. So she had to know the difference. God thought she could have repented if she was willing to do so, but she willed not to. God is always just and never unjust. He is holy. He is immutable. When he makes an oath, he witnesses it himself. Now look at verse 22 and 23. Behold, I will cast her into a bed. Now look what it says. And then that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your what? Works. See, the devil has deceived many in thinking they can follow paganism and profess Christ to the glory of Almighty God. Nah. The result of this is the judgment and wrath of God. The wretched system of the Queen of Heaven, the Holy Mother, will take all those who partake with her into the great tribulation. This woman is detailed, and we won't go here, but it's detailed in Revelation 17, and her companions are detailed in Revelation 18. We know the kings and the merchants are in alliance with her. We'll find that in Revelation 18, 9. You see how he says he's going to make her a bed and all these guys are going to come in with her? It's all connected with this system. So it's not just a economic system. It's a religious system. People have to have religion, people. There will be one religion. There'll be one book. Oh, yeah. There'll be one main guy. Oh, yeah. So, and we know that her children are not God's children. They are the direct offspring of this particular system. So it's not man nor religion the world should worry about, but God who searcheth, what, the hearts. It's interesting that one of the last acts of Jezebel in the Old Testament, now listen to me, was to conceal her identity by painting her face. Yeah, put a bunch of makeup on there. That's where the old hard shell people used to preach against women with makeup, amen. Then finally Green and the rest of them says, you know, if the barn needs painting, please paint. But if it don't put nothing on there. And they go to Jezebel. And in this country right here, when women started to put makeup on, guess what they were called? Oh, yeah, man. Whores had red lipstick, bright red lipstick. They had identifying marks. It separated them from the other people at that time. Now what's happened? Everything's everything. I mean, boys are girls are boys. We're just having a fine time, aren't we? Lucille. Yeah, right. Anyway, so painting her face. But she also died a horrible death, nonetheless. Really? I got to sort of end with some of this stuff. Go to 2 Kings again, chapter 9. Did you know God's man told her exactly what's going to happen to her? Man. You know God has been telling the world exactly what's going to happen to them in the tribulation period? They can paint themselves up, it ain't going to help. They can be superstitious as they want, it ain't going to help. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 9. And let's begin reading in verse 30 and go to 37. You got it? And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face. That's why we know it was a disguise. You got it? It's not just makeup to try to please him, right? She painted her face, and tired her head and looked out at a window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, "Had Zimri peace, who slew his master?" And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. Don't you like the King James Bible? What happened? Man, she splattered, man, then he ran over her. Oh, anyway, okay. Don't want to get too involved here. Look at verse 33. And he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, "Go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." Ahab's daughter, right? No, it was his wife. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the what? Skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Gross. Wherefore they came again and told him. And he said, what did he say? "This is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field of the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, This is Jezebel." Wow. Man. Now, talking about this makeup, talking about Jezebel and Baal worship and all this cookie-eating stuff, Queen of Heaven. Rome has been pretending for centuries, but the Lord knows her and will judge her. Now, if you apply the death in church history, that death of Jezreel and all that went on, it is from 500 to 1000 A.D. and is called the Black Death. Wow, what did that happen during the Dark Ages? What is that? The plague in Europe when it comes. Remember, according to the prophetic account, those who hang around her get the same judgment. Yeah, we read that in 18:1-8, right? Anyway. So quoting from John Wolver, and we'll conclude here for this study of it. He says, "The message to the assembly in Thyatira seems to foreshadow that period of church history known as the Middle Ages preceding the Protestant Reformation. In that period, the church became corrupt as it sought to combine Christianity with pagan philosophy and heathen religious rites, so that much of the ritual of the church of that period is directly traceable to comparable ceremonies in heathen religion. During this period also, there began that exaltation of Mary, the mother of our Lord, which has tended to exalt her to the plane of a female deity through whom intercession to God should be made, and apart from whose favor there can be no salvation. The prominence of a woman prophetess in the church of Thyatira anticipates the prominence of this unscriptural exaltation of Mary. Along with this, the church experienced spiritual depravity, and idols in the form of religious statues were introduced. Not only gross immorality, but spiritual fornication resulted, much as was done here in the church of Thyatira. The participation in idol worship and eating of things offered to idols also foreshadows the departure from the scriptural doctrine of the finished sacrifice of Christ. In the Middle Ages, the false teaching of the continual sacrifice of Christ was advocated, transforming the observance of the elements of the Lord's Supper into another sacrifice of Christ. This fundamental error of the church in the Middle Ages has been corrected in modern Protestantism by the recognition of the bread and the cup as symbols, but not the sacrifice itself, which Christ performed once and for all upon the cross of Calvary. In contrast to the false doctrine exalting the Virgin Mary to the role of deity and co-redeemer, Christ introduces himself in this message to the church of Thyatira as the Son of God, one to whom alone we owe our redemption and in whose hands alone are final judgments. And we notice that when he addressed the other ones, he talked about the Son of Man. But in this church right here, he talks about himself as the Son of God. And to go against that type of Mariolatry worship. So, in a brief time that we had, we gave you a bunch of scriptures to try to somehow historically and geographically locate this Jezebel and what she believed and what was practiced at Thyatira, which wasn't accepted by some believers that were there, but nonetheless was being performed, which also coincides with the Catholic Church today and what they're doing. You get the bread, you get the Queen of Heaven. No matter how they cover it up, when it comes right down to it, if they ever get control, we are heretics, we will be burnt, we will be killed, just like happened in the Dark Ages. Scripture was forbidden for any lay person that wasn't a priest to have it. That's why they called it the Dark Ages, because there was no light, there was no scripture. The plague happened during that time, superstitions, people were being burnt left and right. Anytime there was a Christian, they were burnt, they were called witches, and so they could get their land. I mean, just terrible. And what we're seeing in our country today is trying to eliminate that Christianity. And if you also notice that what we have is the Muslims. So, the Muslims got jihad. Christianity has crusades. What kind of Christianity, preacher? Romanism. So there's stuff being set up that we don't even know yet. God knows. History repeats itself a little bit, you know. And our illustrious Obama visited the Pope already. And who knows what's being set up. So us as Christians, it's a little scary being a kid and having some goals and want to live your life and all that kind of stuff with 100 years left and do good and all that. You got to learn how to trust God now. Don't go into shock when something happens. Go to God. You got a Bible, if you're able to keep the Bible, that's why you try to memorize as much as you can. Maybe the only thing that you have for sanity. That's something to remember. So we're in the church of Thyatira, chapter 2. And we should be able to close this out as we cover all the different things that that church does. Nowadays, next Wednesday, Lord willing.